What's up, demons? It's your girls, Z.
And Amy.
You're listening to Curse Words and Crayons Presents True Crime. Today, we are talking about a missing woman. She was a missing girl back in 1997 that the authorities are still trying to locate or find more information about. Her name is Erica Frazier, and she's from Brooksville, which actually is only 50 miles from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty close to you, Hale, but you have not heard of her. No?
I have not. And Cincinnati is still about 2.5 hours from where I am because I'm more fair central Ohio. But it is interesting to me that sometimes I forget that states actually border other states. And, like,
yes,
you could be in Kentucky and then 5 minutes later be in Ohio.
As somebody who hails from Texas, that is, in fact, incredibly confusing.
For sure. For sure. And, I mean, I grew up pretty smack dab in the middle of the state up north, but not so north that but there's really nothing over Ohio. Like, it goes into Canada. Well, there's lakes, and then it goes into Canada. But, yeah, I have not heard of her, and I'm interested to talk more about her, but you know what I have heard of?
What?
The TV show From, which is going to be our show and tell today. Have you seen this or heard of it?
Definitely not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's kind of spooky spooks, and you don't do the spooky spooks.
To know.
We haven't done a good TV recommendation in a while. And we haven't done a good book recommendation in a while either. I'm a little disappointed in us, but I found this show.
I haven't been reading as much. I'm in a stage of motherhood where reading is like, possible? Yeah. Because the minute my brain gets to go on a little vacation, the whole house is fucked.
For sure.
And Ren's trying to die because my youngest.
Right.
I watched this video earlier today and it was like, ha ha. But it's not ha ha because this is my house every day. So I watched a video earlier and it's like, can you explain to me what happened? And the mom's like, well, I went to the bathroom and the baby is like, on the counter, like in the knives, like throwing, like tossing them around, whatever. But I mean, it's like he scooted a chair to climb on top of something, to open something, to like move something else to access said knives. It's just forever. That's what I feel like when I try to sit down and actually read a book. Or my brain says, you know what? You didn't flip the laundry. Cause if I'm doing an audio book, you know, it's like, oh, you know what? You should be doing the laundry. You know what else you should be doing? Did you schedule an episode recording with Amy, because you should probably text Amy. And you know what? You're a shitty friend. So did you text your friends this month? Because if you didn't, right now when you're not feeling great is the perfect time to text literally every single person. So that way you can stare at your notifications anxiously as they start to roll in all at the same time. You know,
because you're sure that even though they've never said anything to you, they are going to be pissed and they're going to tell you how much they hate you, and that's what you're waiting for to come in.
Yeah, or I'm going to actually have a conversation when all I really wanted was, like, thinking of you, heart.
Hey, LOL.
Please don't ask me how I'm doing. Or any real questions, because...
Right. Can we
anyways.
Do that thing where I say, how are you, and you say, fine, and I say, yeah, me too, and then that's the end, and we don't actually really feel?
Yeah. Yeah, or you could tell me if you want to sit down and tell me everything, that's cool. But I'm telling you right now that this vault needs to stay shut. If not, it's just, you know, gonna explode, right?
Good to know. But wow, that was a dark hole.
There you go. This is the TV show From, though, right?
We're gonna stay in that dark hole, and we're gonna talk about the TV show From. It came out a couple years ago. I had never watched it because it was on one of the streaming channels that I don't own. So I was like, I'm not going to buy another streaming channel just to get this one show. And I'd heard a lot of really good things about it, but it came on to the first season came to Prime and it was free. So I was like, okay, well, I'll watch the first season, like whatever. And I devoured it. Like, it was so good. It was an embarrassingly short amount of time that it took me to watch the first season. And then you could do like a free trial for like this, you know, how you do for to get to watch whatever movie you want to watch. And I literally finished the second season in like 2 or 3 days, which is really
Did you cancel your subscription or did you keep it?
I canceled it. Because
good
there was
for you.
In it that like, if this show, the show has a season 3 that's coming out. So when it comes back, I might have to purchase it again, but until
for
then,
1 month.
I need to save my $7 a month and I have enough streaming services that I don't use. So I did cancel it, but it's on MGM Plus, which you can access through Prime, I believe. And it's crimey and it's supernaturally and it's kind of, it gives me a very much a Lost vibe.
Ooh, okay.
So it's about this town of people, and the people are trapped in the town. Either okay. By the town, in the town, but how you get to this town
like
is
the village. Did you see the movie The Village?
Yes, but okay. So far, there's no, like, people that are keeping them there. Like,
okay.
What happens is you are on a road driving somewhere. You pass through the town, and, like, the second your vehicle makes it into the town, then you're stuck on this loop, and, like, you can never get out. Like, you just – it's almost like a weird portally thing, which doesn't make sense, and it's kind of like, oh, but that doesn't make sense. But, like, shut up and go with it. Like, it's good.
That's fine. It doesn't need to make sense.
It's not going to come up again. It's going to – and, like, there's, like, two kind of, like, Walking Dead-esque where there's, like, different communities in the town. There's, like, the people that live in, like, the community house, and then there's, like, the people that live in the actual town. And it's very much set up like a society. Like, they have a sheriff, and they have, like, a person who was an EMT who ended up in the town who's, like, the doctor. But, like, they don't have anything. Like, they have no – the only thing that people have is stuff that's been brought in through people coming there.
Yeah, getting
so
stranded.
Whatever you had with you when you were traveling, that's all you have. And so, like, obviously, like, people die and different things happen. But they can't go outside at night because there's things that come out of the woods and do a murdering. I found the show to be incredible. I found it to be really well written. There's 2 seasons so far. They've started filming a season 3 that should be out, I think they're saying, in the fall. And it's just one of those mysteries where you keep finding new pieces and you're like, ooh, this is weird. Like, what happened here? And season 2 ended on this huge cliffhanger. And I love it. I think it's so good and it was so worth it to almost have to pay $7 a month for, but I didn't because I canceled it yesterday. Yeah, I definitely recommend it if you're into that kind of like supernaturally crimey stuff. And there's 2 seasons to devour. So that I'm finding shows that there's like only 1 season and it's like 8 episodes and then I'm like bored because there's nothing else for me to watch. I need a good like 12 season arc that I can like really dive into.
I understand that. Yeah. This isn't going to help you, but I have been watching a lot of shows on HBO Max here recently, okay. Which I think is just called Max. So I'm definitely adding From to my much watch.
Do list. It. Sure. Yeah.
But I have been watching a lot of crime shit on Max.
Okay.
And so it's been recommending a lot of crime stuff on Max. So I watched House of Hammer.
You were telling me about that and I haven't watched it yet. And I think that might be my next watch.
Oh, yes. You have to. It threw me off because the grandpa's name is Armand. So it's Armand Hammer. And I thought that's like the cleaning.
Armand Hammer? Yeah, the
It's they don't, but they do own a bunch of oil stuff and they're very, 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 but maybe also they do. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but every time, because I didn't look further after that, you know, it was purely for an escape of the brain, but I watch House of Hammer. I also watched the docuseries about Jared from Subway per Roberto's suggestion.
Did he watch it? Had he watched it before?
Oh yeah. And he was like, yeah,
From that whole scenario is just, or situation, I can't even.
It's also confusing and just makes me trust the police and the government less because they like feel like they knowingly allowed people, I know that they had to do, I don't the justice system, and I wish we could have just snipered him from afar while he was doing those things. I feel like if you know somebody is doing bad things and you continue to allow it to go on to get evidence against them, while I understand logistically that that is the correct thing, I think that's super fucked. Like, morally, it feels wrong. Morally, yeah. It feels stupid. Morally, it feels neglectful to the children that were involved or potentially involved, to the women that were involved. Oh, Quiet on the Set. I also watched Quiet on the Set.
Did you?
That's why I got HBO. I was like, no, there was a different one. That's okay. So we had Max before, but then I don't know. It deleted. We had HBO Max, but then I guess they changed it to Max. It deleted off my TV. So I didn't know how to like access that app.
Yeah, you just weren't watching it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of forgot about it because a long time ago you told me to download Hulu for a free month trial. And, I have free month, not free month. I have been paying for that shit for like a year and a half now, but the next month I wasn't upset because when I started paying for it, like quite literally the week after I paid for it on accident, that's when they started putting Next Day Bravo episodes on it. So I was like, Amy was just really looking out for me, like future me. That's what
she was
trying to do.
I got your best interest at heart, my friend, you know, always.
Exactly. But Quiet on the Set, oh my goodness, that one is, that one's awful. It's seeing things like that, it's just truly horrific to know that, like, people are willing to put your kids in danger to lock up. I mean, it feels like they put more people, it feels like when those are one person doing crimes to multiple people, that you're doing more harm than good. It's not, it doesn't feel like, oh, should we stop the train? Or should we kill the train full of people or the person on the track kind of situation? You get what I'm saying? Like, it feels very much like, well, no, that one person is doing awful. Like, how much easier would it have been to just clear up that one person?
Right.
Who was putting themselves in those situations? Nobody put them in that. No. They did it.
I have been seeing so much about Quiet on the Set on TikTok because it's all over. It's like the big thing to talk about right now. And that terrifies me. And I see those children and like, did their parents knew, did they know, were they just like, it's fine, it's going to be better for their career. It's just, it's heartbreaking.
In our Sports Mom edition, I was telling you though, like some of these people, and I'm sure you have similar experience. Some of these adult coaches and stuff, like, we were just told to fucking deal with it. Like, Roberto is Hispanic. Mm-hmm. He is from Mexico. One of his teachers told him, I think a principal told him, well, you're Mexican, so you're not going to amount to anything, and was being incredibly racist with him. But when his mother went up there, the teacher was like, or principal, I don't remember what it was like, oh, no, he's a liar. And so Maria was like, oh, Roberto, no. And then Roberta, but like her instance, because she's also an educator, but also my parents would have done the same thing. Like your instant response is you want to stick up for your kid. But then if another adult tells you that they're incorrect, back in the day, you used to believe the adult and be like, you little fucking liar to your children.
Sure.
Oh, I'm going to go beat you in the corner. You're in timeout, you know? And maybe that's why we all have anxiety right now.
Probably. But,
I guess that all that to say is like, I'm not sure if I told my parents that, like, or I don't know if I understood the emotional repercussions of feeling not as worthy as some people on my swim team in high school. Or it's different if you don't work as hard or if you're just not as skilled. But when an adult makes you feel less worthy, I'm not sure that I was able to verbalize that to my parents in a way that them feel like I wasn't just being a whiny little baby.
And I do think that's really hard. And I think it depends on your parents. Chris and I were doing an activity the other day and we were talking about like love languages, you know, and how your love languages were given as a child, like that often reflects like the love language you're looking for as an adult, and how like if you didn't have like, there's like five love languages and one is like quality time. Like if you didn't have that quality time with your parents growing up, like that's something that you could potentially like grow up and like crave as an adult. Or if you weren't given words of affirmation, maybe you really want words of affirmation, or it's something that like really
makes
kind
you
of gross
uncomfortable.
To you. Yeah. And I do think it's really hard because my children, we are constantly trying to, our rule in our house is we don't keep secrets from, you know, like, you don't keep secrets, and if you tell us the truth, like, yeah, we might not be happy, but we would rather you tell us the truth than lie to us about things. And so when you're dealing with kids growing up and learning how to, like, be a human, sometimes kids have a hard time telling the truth or doing different, you know, like doing different things. So how do you?
Sometimes I have a hard time telling the truth when I fuck up. Sometimes, like, I don't want to be called out to the carpet. Sometimes I'm very grateful. A lot. Anytime I make a mistake, I'm very grateful that I'm an adult. Nobody's, like, checking right back up on me. You know
right,
what I'm
nobody's
saying?
Nobody's going to tell on you or, like, tell you that
nobody's going to come yell at me because I accidentally spilled my water on the floor.
For sure. And, but also, like, as an adult, you're the one that has to clean it up. And also, as an adult, if somebody was touching you in a way that was inappropriate or you didn't like, you know, you have the ability to say, like, nah, friend, I'm going to go to the police. I'm going to tell an adult. I'm going to do whatever.
Almost without repercussion where kids, it might not be the same. Oh, that's Uncle Henry. He just is going to touch you like that.
Right. It's you just okay. have to be okay with it. Yeah. Which is, like, wrong in so many levels. But yeah, to watch that these kids come out who are now adults who are like, this was my entire childhood. Like, how fucking awful.
Right. And I think that's what then the Jared documentary came up on Max and Roberto had told me, because I was told him, like, that I was so excited to finally watch Quiet on the Set. We were talking about it at lunch one morning with a bunch of friends, and he told me about Jared, and then that's also when I saw House of Hammers messed up in their own.
He used to be an actor, like the youngest of the Hammers.
He is the twins from The Social Network. So I don't ever remember a lot of, but I love The Social Network. That's one of my favorite movies. Like, I'm a big, that's a comfort movie for me. So I'm a big fan of The Social.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of The Social Work. I like that little actor man, but I never know anybody's names, right? So I'm telling you, I like the little actor man with the curly hair. I don't know what that guy's name is, but Armie Hammer was one of the, he was the dude that played both of the twins.
Okay. Okay, I know who that, yeah, I mean, I know who that is, I guess.
And then he also got several roles outside of that. Okay. And he also comes from an extremely affluent
family, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, they have a lot of sway. Like, his grandpa, when Watergate happened, his grandpa got in trouble and got indicted because he was one of the people that had paid Nixon. So it's so good. You've gotta watch.
Okay, now I need to watch these. Okay, well,
so I'll have to watch From, and you'll have to get on Max. Yes. We'll have to switch our apps out.
Yeah.
And
that's so good. Okay, I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. And if you have any shows you want us to watch, listeners, please let us know, because I work from home, and because I have ADHD, I have to have the TV on, like, all the time.
Yes.
And Z is home all the time with her little babes. So
exactly.
We're always looking for things to watch.
100%. 100%. Are we ready to get down into the disappearance of Erica Frazier?
As ready as we'll ever be. Let's do it.
Okay. So the authorities still don't know what happened to her. She disappeared on October 21st, 1997. She was only 17, and Erica was last seen at a video rental store named Video in Tan. So what I'm hearing from this, what I'm collecting as an observer, is that this is a tanning salon and a video rental all in one, just as the Lord intended it. There needs to be, like, a place to get Slurpees or Icy's attached as well. And this is just the epitome of 1997.
Like, absolutely.
Oh my God. Yes. If there was a gas station attached to it too, like, why is it not Video and Gas and Tan? That is 97.
And, like, in Kentucky, that's 100% like a place that probably actually existed. We had a place where I grew up that was a wash and tan, which was a laundromat with a tanning bed in it.
I mean, if it has power, it has power. And why not use every inch of square space to make them hustle it out, boo-boo.
Listen,
do you.
I call that person an entrepreneur. So
if people are paying to come and tan in your laundromat, then who are you not to take their money?
I'm not going to lie. If I didn't think I would be judged so harshly by God and also the skincare power of attorney, whoever that is in the universe, I would tan every day. Love to lay in a tanning
Hadley.
Bed.
Would murder your niece Hadley would murder
you. She would 100% murder me because she would be like, girl, that is bad for your skin. And if it wasn't bad for my skin, I would do it. And so I don't do it.
Do but you like how it feels?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like
okay,
so
because
warm. I like to have a tan. I don't live in a place where it's sunny all the time.
Okay. Remedy, because I was going to say that is so easy with like tanning drops in your lotion,
yeah.
With a fake tan that I have a couple recommendations even that like don't stink. And I'm not a big fake tan girl, but
yeah,
one of my besties is, and she's got like a ton of recommendations. And mm-hmm. So, but this is like the side swing of all side swings, red light saunas. Because
I had that very thought as I was thinking about how could I go tanning without going
people
tanning.
People are putting them in their house, and I feel like, are they really that affordable, or are these people just bankrupting themselves? Probably bankrupting themselves,
both.
Right?
Probably both. I mean, I bet if, like, you really prioritized your money and was like, okay, I'm going to save for this thing, I could afford it, but also nobody's doing that and they're putting it on a credit card.
I forget that people don't travel like we do. So then I'm always like, oh my God, how are they affording that when we literally have a 3-week trip coming up to Europe in which we're figuring out how to afford.
Right.
So I guess you are correct. Anyways, okay, back to Erica Frazier.
Yeah.
She was 17.
Let's talk about the video in tan. Let's go.
And gas. JK, it wasn't. Okay, so she was last seen at a video rental store, the video in tan. And this was between 9 and 10 p.m. on that Tuesday night. Her family reports her missing when she didn't come home.
Yeah.
The following day, her black Pontiac Boonville car was found parked between two hay about a mile from the video store. Now, like we said earlier, this is all about 50 miles south of Cincinnati. She, Erica Frazier, was a senior at Bracken County High School in 1997. She worked a part-time job at Carlotta's Pizza in Augusta. Shortly before she went missing, she requested more hours at her job, and she planned to enroll in Northern Kentucky University after graduation. Erica was going to study accounting, or so she thought. Everybody thinks they're going to study something when they go into college, and it always changes. But that is what
– right.
Exactly. But that is what her intentions were. Although recently she had started hanging out with a rough crowd. That's like, according to the gossips in the town, she was hanging out with not the right kind of kids. But she argued with her best friend prior to her disappearance. Or I guess, and she argued with her best friend. Rough crowd, she argues with her best friend. The authorities do not believe that Erica left on her own accord. She has no history of running away. She was a good student. She had a steady boyfriend and no real inclinations, trouble in her life, other than said rough crowd, which, I mean, I feel like you can hang out, like in high school, I mean, come on, you're hanging out with the rough crowd, oh no, what do? Smoke cigarettes at the Walmart, ooh, what a rough crowd,
right.
Like bad kids. She hadn't told anybody that she had any plans to travel. So yeah, when she went missing, it was a big red flag for her parents, as it should be for anybody.
Sure.
That has a 16, 17-year-old kid that just goes missing.
Right. And obviously she is missing, but like this happened in October. So it's not like, oh, it's summertime and she's out running around, and it was like a Tuesday night. So like this is a school night.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
In October.
Yeah. And it's, end of October. So we're hitting snow territory for that area.
I forgot it did that where you guys
close.
Live.
Probably not in the 90s, thanks global warming, but right now it would be snowing at that time. There were no signs of a struggle in or around her vehicle. Her wallet, her purse, and her checkbook, because remember when we used to carry around checkbooks?
Oh, gosh.
I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore because I can never find mine. They were all in her car. And the police were unable to find any fingerprints. Her missing keys, car keys, were later discovered across the road from her vehicle under some leaves. Thankfully, they have some sort of initial lead at this point. 20-year-old Shane Simcox was the last person to see Erica alive or to see her at all. Now, at this point, I don't think that they're considering this to be a murder case. It's still a missing persons case. He was 20. He told authorities that Erica dropped him off around 9 p.m. the night she disappeared and that he never saw her again. So apparently he's somebody that was like her friend or she knew from the video in Tan or whatever. And so this means he's suspect number one because he was the last to see her alive or at all. Shane had previously been expelled from Bracken County High School for threatening a teacher and her daughter. He also previously had been charged with burglary and refused to take a polygraph test to discuss Erica's case. So if Shane is the type of person that is the rough crowd that she's hanging out with,
I understand why he is also suspect number one. But just because, you don't want to threaten somebody, but did he? You know, what did he threaten them with? You know, like, what kind of a threat? Yes, burglary.
You and your mom are jerks, or like, yeah, what? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, yes, burglary. Truly, though, I could have gotten arrested for burglary in high school. We used to break into houses for sale just to hang out in them.
Allegedly, Z, you're going to get yourself arrested.
I mean, I feel like this was 20 years ago, so I think I've passed
a... Yeah,
maybe
statute of limitations are kind of gone, but...
And I
can see how that could be burglary. I know people who...
It is. That's not my house.
Or breaking and entering, I guess. Maybe not burglary, because you probably aren't stealing anything. You're just breaking in. I mean, I've walked into houses that are for sale without, you know, if the door's unlocked. Or you can get in.
The neighbor next door, hopefully she's not listening, but I used to break into her house all the time when it was being built and just go walk around and be like,
right.
Wow, this is gonna, one time I jumped the fence to go through the back door.
All right, that gets a little crazy. That's a little less than 20 years ago.
She didn't live there yet, and the walls weren't all the way on, so it was
a
new
build. Okay, so is it a house?
It was a new build. I wasn't going into walls. I should definitely... I thought you understood that, but then why would you know that? Why would you know? They were literally building her house still.
Okay.
When I moved, like we moved in and then they started building her house. So I would break, not break in, but I would allow myself through
to
the unlocked doors
to
visit the insides, just to take a peek at what my neighbor would be living in.
Yeah.
Nice house.
So my sister, this was also less than 20 years ago, so I'm just going to say allegedly for legal purposes at the beginning of this. Her neighbor had passed away or moved to like an elderly facility, and they were selling that house. And for a while, Chris and I had considered purchasing. This was before we bought the house we're in now. And we definitely went through that house a couple times, and but it was like unlocked. So it wasn't like
– So is that technically – breaking and entering,
nobody
or is
invited
that
me
just
in, but the door was open and my probable cause was I wanted to see what the basement looked like. So
does that make you look more or does that make you sound more or less guilty, Amy? Because I would be like, oh, that she wants to see what the basement looks like. Oh,
what if I'm? Because I also wanted to buy that house, so I needed to know like all the ins.
I would have led with I want to buy the house, not see the basement.
Not, I want to see where I can keep my next victim.
But, you know, that's just me willing to burglarize my neighbors, so.
Right. I mean, are we saying that we're friends with Shane? No. But are we saying that we can maybe understand how
he was 17, 20, 20,
could have been. He was 20, but he had been previously expelled. I'm going to assume he wasn't 20 in high school. I'm assuming he was like 17 or 18 when he was expelled. But who knows? I mean, he knows. I don't know. But he refuses to take a polygraph test, which is always a little creepy creeps to me when you refuse a polygraph. But I also understand it from the point of view of somebody who has maybe been burnt by the police before, that you're not interested in doing something where they could push evidence on you and all.
Well, and they're incredibly unreliable. So, well, yeah, for instance, sure, like, if you're just nervous about whatever question they're asking you in general, that could pop as you lying. Like, I don't need anybody else to gaslight me more than I already do myself. So I don't need a little test to go boop, 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 when I'm trying to remember, did I murder somebody when I was sleeping happily next to my children with all the doors locked and there was quite literally not a possibility? But maybe I did. Maybe my body got possessed by a demon and it just happened. Who's to say? Not me. I thought I was asleep.
Right. Yes. And I never really thought about that as being an issue until one time. This is like the episode of all the side roads.
Yeah,
because I have
so
another side story. One time Chris and I went to this place called Wonderworks, which is like a science museum. And they had this activity where you could put this little like cap on and it like read like your, I don't know, it's like kind of like a lie detector where the higher your heart rate got, the more it like pushed this ball towards you. Chris lost in 2.3 seconds, like literally out
put
the
it
gate,
on instant sweat
instantly. And I was like, how did you lose so fast? Like, what happened? What were you thinking about? And he was like, I was just sitting there and I was thinking, okay, you have to stay calm. This makes me feel like this was in, this reminds me of the movie Red Dragon. Oh my God, Hannibal Lecter. And he like immediately like blew it off. So if somebody gave my husband the lie detector test, he would lose immediately. And not just lose because of like the beep beeps, but he is the worst liar. He caves under. Oh. He'd be like, what do I need to confess to? I will do it because I am uncomfortable. So if Shane and my husband were in the same situation, I think Chris would also be like, no thanks on the polygraph test because I will immediately lose. So there was also never evidence linking him to Erica's disappearance. He just happened to be the last person that she saw. He was considered a person of interest but was never arrested or charged. So even without accepting the polygraph, they still decided they didn't have enough evidence to really charge him.
Well, they don't even have enough evidence to know whether it's a crime or a disappearance. So they can't they definitely can't charge him with a disappearance they don't know which one to charge him with
right
at this point because of lack
for
of
sure
evidence. So
that's
that straight off the gate is just not right going to allow them to.
Right. So another man was thought to be a potential suspect. He actually later ended up shooting his wife and then himself. Authorities say that the individual was ruled out as a suspect in the case before he died. He had an alibi for the night of her disappearance. Now, here's the thing when it's like, oh, I have an alibi for the night of the disappearance. I've covered enough true crime cases and read enough true crime books to understand that there's a lot of hours in a night that you could slip away from people
could lie for you. People could be mistaken about the ultimate timeline altogether. Just because you have an alibi in 1997 doesn't mean that alibi would still hold up today in 2024 either.
100%. And what I'm also finding super interesting about the two suspects is that she was 17. They explain this other person, this other man, as a man, which means he was an adult and old enough to have a wife. And then Shane is also 20. So it seems like either she was hanging around with older folks or was getting the attention of older gentlemen, callers, maybe. Maybe
fair
not
enough. And who then knows? what about the friend that she got into a fight with?
Nobody asked her any questions. Just because she's a girl doesn't mean that she didn't shmurder her.
Exactly. So there have been no update since 2020. But in 2020, there actually was an update, okay? And this led authorities to search a school staircase with cadaver dogs.
Mm-hmm.
No new information, so they didn't find her there. But the leads about Erica being buried in a stairwell apparently are not unfamiliar to the police. The original investigator in her case received a similar tip years prior. which is just, how do you bury somebody in a school staircase?
I mean, if there was a lot of new builds in that town and like new things going up, maybe that had something to do with it.
The floor at my school was concrete though. Like the stairwells were concrete. It just seems crazy. I mean, it all seems crazy.
And what a weird, I know we've never covered a case where somebody was found in a stairwell. Like, I don't really get it.
It also seems not smart as a stairwell in a high school or a school in general would be highly trafficked.
Right. But I guess if it was concrete, I mean, that sucker's staying in there. You're not going to tear down those steps.
This is true. At the time of her disappearance, Erica was 5'6". She weighed 115 pounds. She was wearing a purple sweater with two white stripes on the chest, Levi jeans, white Keds, a Winnie the Pooh watch.
Oh,
I know.
That's my heart.
I know. Four gold rings on her right hand. And she would be turning 43 years, or actually she'd be 44.
In May, yeah.
She's considered missing, not murdered. So therefore, it's not getting the same treatment as a criminal case, because again, there is no indication of a crime. It's like Brian Schaefer, just poof, gone.
But in her instance, and I mean, his cards and things weren't used, but in her instance, like if she truly was running away, or then she would take her stuff. But if she was taken, they probably would leave her things. The fact that her keys were thrown across the road and the purse, the wallet, the checkbook, everything is still there. So if she needs access to money or whatever, she doesn't have it. So my thought leans towards, yes, she was taken. Like, she didn't just
wander
off, she was taken. But at what point do you say, like, okay, we're no longer viewing this as a missing persons case?
She's for sure dead. Like,
she's definitely dead because...
But also maybe she's not, because maybe. How long was, well, Elizabeth Smart, how long was that girl with her captors?
For a long time.
I'm not saying that this is the same situation, because this is obviously like not 30 years later, but it's like what, 25 and some change? It's something like that. Okay. So it's been some time, right? Less than 30 years, more than 20. So at this point, I don't think that she is missing. I think that she has been, that sadly, I personally believe that Erica Frazier is deceased. I would want the police to say something like that to me too. I would rather feel like my family member was dead than know that they were just potentially out in the abyss. However, I don't know if that is more soothing to know that the police no longer feel like they're but then you don't know what happened. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes it any better.
Yeah, I don't know either. So I just looked up Elizabeth Smart and she was missing for only 9 months.
I thought it was way longer than
I did too. But I mean, 9 months is a long time for a 14-year-old to go missing. I just looked up because I am a weirdo and my FBI agent is definitely marking this. What's the longest somebody's been missing?
And found
alive. There was some man, it was like 97 years, but that I think was like a different thing. But like, a missing child was found alive after more than 40 years.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's possible.
Maybe we need to cover that kid.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe not, because that's probably a lot of brutality against the child. So maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe we need to look into it, though. I do find missing cases to be super frustrating because they're missing and we don't have any other information. But also, there's no closure. And it's like, especially like you were saying, I would rather them say, like, we're going to presume she's dead so we can have a funeral and we can do those things, because what a happy accident if they find her someday and then you feel better. But I don't know. I feel like the cycle.
Would you feel better?
Closure. Well, not better.
Would you feel better, or would you no longer know that person anymore and you would have grieved her? So like, my grandma had dementia. So I feel like this is not at all the same, but I feel like when she died, she had already been dead to me. Does that make
I think that makes perfect sense. I think that totally makes sense.
would you be going through, okay, you haven't closed the door, but you've already started that period of like closure and everything like that. And now they're back. And now you also don't know them. And now they come with a series of psychological tears, obviously, no matter what kind of state they were in, whether they were stuck in the woods, had amnesia, something happened. They have a brain injury now. Something happened.
They have a whole other past that they didn't know about because.
Yes.
For whatever reason. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. And I know I feel like we covered, it was the case we covered of the guy who ended up being a murderer whose brother had gone missing, but then the brother came back.
Oh, yeah.
Like a ton of like, I mean, there's a ton of psychological
and they
trauma.
Like never talked about it.
Yeah. It was just like, okay, here he is. I think even though it would be super hard and yes, you had mourned that person, you've got a whole nother set of problems. I would still rather have the closure or knowing that they found that person or that person is now safe.
Yeah, especially if it was my kid. If it was somebody else, maybe not as much. But if it's my child, I definitely have attachment to those little heathens at least.
You know, I just want to make sure they're safe in a little cocoon forever. But yeah, and it's interesting to me that leads were still coming in up until 2020. I mean, that's just 4 years ago. So I wonder if they'll still find more. I do wish that it was getting the same. I almost feel like missing people cases need more attention than a murdered person case because that person's already dead. Not that they don't deserve to be rectified, but.
Yeah, especially once they catch their killer.
Yeah. Like,
but how often do we feel like they catch the wrong killer? So
many times,
you know, there's just so many flip sides.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's what it feels like.
It really does. Life is hard. I can't imagine. I can't imagine my kid going missing. I mean, she's a few years older than me. So her parents, there's a good chance her parents are still alive or at least family members.
She died.
But they did die.
Yeah, I looked it up. I think they, before the 2020, I think they died a couple years after she did, to be honest. I hate when that happens, but like, I think it's because they were just so heartbroken and stressed. Like, you raise your kid until they're 17, they're supposed to be good. Like, you did it.
You're good. We're done. Yeah, you're going to college next year. This is all great and well and wonderful.
Especially at 97. Get the fuck out of the house now. You're an adult. You're going off to war.
The payroll. See ya.
Yes, exactly.
100%. Ugh. Well, we will keep you updated if we hear anything else about this amazing case. Next week, we're going to be discussing a parenting chat, our monthly parenting chat. We do this once a month. We don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but it's going to be great, whatever it is. And if you have any suggestions, crime or parenting, please let us know. Hit us up on all the things. Check out
our shop. Get some merch. You need a hat for the summer because I love you and you don't need that much sun on your face. It's going to cause some skin cancer. Shield yourself. Wear less sunscreen and wear a hat and a long sleeve shirt from CurseWordsAndCrayons.com.
Yeah. We have all of those things. All that ails you, we have. Until then, wear sunscreen, but get out in the sun.
Yes.
Drink some water. Don't hit your kids, okay? Even though you might want to just a little bit. Try not to. Only if they deserve it. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.